Now, I want you to look around the congregation here and notice that there are more empty chairs than people. Father's Day is notoriously the smallest day in America for church attendance. And that's because I think that a lot of fathers have been beaten up a little bit. So I thought what I'd start with is a frustrated, comical Father's Day author that I read, and I want to share this with you. He writes this. Let me get a drink of water here. That make you thirsty? Okay, I just... Now that my father is a grandfather, he just can't wait to give money to my kids. But when I was a kid and asked him for 50 cents, he immediately would tell me the story of his life. Isn't that true? All right. How he got up at 5 a.m. and when he was 7 years old and walked 23 miles to milk 90 cows. And the farmer for whom he worked had no bucket, so he had to squirt the milk into his little hand and then walk 8 miles to the nearest bucket, and he got 5 cents for the whole month. But now he tells my children every time he comes to the house, well, let's see how much money old granddad has got for his wonderful kids. He said, the minute they take the money out of their hand, out of his hands, I call them over and I snatch it away because that's my money I never got. Boy, we have those stories, don't we? And then it's funny because we end up telling those stories to our kids. And it's exaggerated, obviously, but here is this morning's question I want you to think about. What kind of legacy, heritage or example or reputation, who you are, did your father or your stepfather or your father's figure leave with you that you remember? Today is Father's Day, and I'm just going to use the father, but some of you didn't have fathers, some of you had stepfathers, some of you had surrogate fathers, some of you had fatherly influence on people. I'm just going to sum that all up with fathers, so I don't have to keep saying them over and over, right? Okay. Dads seem to get battered on our holiday. In fact, that's why so many dads stay home or they go to the lake or camping rather than coming to church, because it's an unspoken standard that we honor moms and bash dads. I don't know why that is. I mean, look at the sitcoms. What do you get from a dad? You get a dad that really is a good, godly father? No, it doesn't even appear that way. And so we men seem to never measure up in the world's eyes, especially if you're a Christian. You don't count at all. And that's because we're supposed to do and be as dads. And whatever that do and be is always seems to be unclear. Everybody has a different opinion. So today I want to help us look at clarity for fathers. To build a legacy as a dad who someday, or maybe even with you who aren't dads, that will someday be a dad. And we dads are nothing like our mothers, moms are. We are creative in our parenting, like sitting in a chair and not wanting to get up when we need to parent. We are sometimes downright crazy, sometimes compassionate, other times not so. We're always rough with the kids, right, dads? We're always rough with the kids. Sometimes risky and sometimes even dangerous. But many times, and most time, awesome. So God put together a simple job description that us dads can listen to that are clear work instructions. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And let's draw from God what we are to do and what our legacy can be because we do that. So let's first look at our children and what they do. And then we're going to look at what we as fathers are supposed to do. So I'm going to read the black underline and you're going to read the other. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Listen to me, dads. When Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, how do they learn to obey? Now, we may think when we read that, that children go to Ephesians 6 and they read that and go, children, obey. I'm supposed to obey my parents? I mean, has that ever happened to your kids? No. No. How are they to obey? Because they haven't learned at all, and obedience does not come natural to them. So let's quickly look down to 4 to see what our job is, and we can come back. And it says, and you, mothers. Okay, thank you. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, meaning anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, we are to teach our children. Literally, this says, and you fathers, and I think the Greek is a little colorful here, and you dads, do not make your children angry, but rather nourish or feed them in child instruction. The word means child instruction and the warnings of the Lord. So we are to teach them obedience and to honor their parents. And that's not a high, tall order, two things. And yet it seems to consume our life, doesn't it? Two things men obey and honor. In our house, as we raise kids, these two things in our household should be something that moves dad into action. Let's look at disobedience first. If they have been told and instructed and warned, okay, and they disobey, we need to be consistent, right? We need to be consistent, not postponing, not ignoring, but being consistent. We need to be consistent, and there needs to be discipline and correction for those areas. Second, dishonoring their mother or you is not what God wants. He just cautions us on it. Here's how I looked at it. They were not going to be disrespectful to my girlfriend. That's the way I looked at it. And why would you say girlfriend? Okay, they didn't understand that our relationship to each other was the fact that I loved Debbie. And I honored Debbie, and I wanted to marry her and spend the rest of my life with her, and my children were wanting to batter her. Does that make any sense to you, men? That they would put your girlfriend down. We married because she was our girlfriend, she was our lover, and for me, I couldn't take it. If they were talking bad towards my wife, I could not take that. That's my girlfriend. That's my lover. She still is my girlfriend and lover. Right? And so any dishonor or disrespect, they knew it, and it was always double discipline to disobedience. And we can look at all kinds of things and we can teach them as dads, but men, I want to encourage you, and God wants to encourage you to mark disobedience and mark dishonor, especially in your mate. But let me warn you here, please, please don't do it in rage. Don't do it in anger and rage. It erases the whole issue. Instead, set the anger aside and do loving consistency. Bring them up in the same environment that God your Father is bringing you up in. Produce a godly atmosphere. Feed these tender, bent on evil kids, right? Isn't it true? I mean, how old does your child need to be before you see their little sinners already? I remember Stevie, my oldest, and he had that kind of bent anyhow. Gosh, he was only like 2 or 3 months, and I could see that. Little evil thing, you know, in our kids. Now, here's the interesting thing. As we produce a godly atmosphere, these little bent on evil children need to know and live a fruitful life because of you, Dad. You remember the promise to your kids if they obey, right? It said in verse 3 that they may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's an interesting promise. But practice correction without being angry or inconsistent, because they will learn from you how to display your anger or your patience by watching. Now, my dad was the poster child for an angry dad. People in the community was angry. And, you know, I look back now, and he was in the Second World War, and I think he had PTSD and a lot of things working against him. He had a horrible childhood. And so he thought it was right to be angry and beat us and then not talk to us for 3 or 4 days so that we learned our lesson. And all that did is produce what in us kids? Rebellion. Rebellion. And, you know, it left me with several issues in my life. First, I had to relearn on how to deal with life, because I learned from him you get angry pretty much at everything, okay? I'd fix my car, it didn't work, I'd throw my wrenches at it. That'd shape that car up, right? And so I had to relearn without yelling and cussing and threatening and without throwing things, and I had to learn patience and love. But it wasn't easy. I had a good wife that would pull me over and chit-chat with me a little bit about it, and I listened. And the problem with demonstrating anger is that it builds inconsistency in our actions and provokes our children to wrath. Because on one occasion, you may be angry at what happens. On the other occasion, you may laugh at exactly the same thing. Don't you think that would drive your kids nuts? I think that's what Paul's talking about. Our children see the inconsistency and they begin to mimic us and become inconsistent and erratic and rebellious. And then we wonder why they are the way they are. Oh, how did they turn out that way? Well, guess what? We are provoking our children to anger instead of doing what God asks. So, men, I'm going to be a little strong here. Stop giving your job to your girlfriend, to your lover. Step up to the plate, men, and do your job. Now, let me give you a challenge. We need to face the truth this morning as we as parents, grandparents, build our legacy. Why? And please hear me on this. Because what they see in you, Dad, is how they will see their Heavenly Father. They don't have any other example of the Heavenly Father. We understand God by what we see in our earthly father. So in other words, if your father wasn't around, neither is God. If your father was angry, so is God. If your father didn't get involved, neither will God. If your father worked all the time, God is disattached God. But If your father was loving, so is God. If your father was nurturing, so was God. That's why you grandparents, stepfathers, father figures, all that I'm talking about here are so important. You know, I said this just a few weeks ago, but fathers, we can feel like a fifth wheel in our society because that's what society has taught us to be. You aren't the fifth wheel. You're the first wheel. And I don't know how to get that across so you own that. But the Bible says you're number one in the family. They look to you. And so you'll have this opportunity to contribute to the idea of who God is. And you can help them see that He's a loving, nurturing, accepting God if you are the same. That really demonstrates God to them. And the commitment I want you and I to come to today is to build a godly legacy that will shape your kids and your grandkids and your nephews and nieces in how they see God. So here's the reality question. What kind of legacy are you building? I want you to stop and think about that a minute. What is the legacy that you are building? And by legacy, I mean your reputation, who you are, how your children see you all through the years. What do they see? And here's maybe the measurement. For them, are you bragging material or complaining material? This command from God to us as Father shows both sides clearly. We either build a legacy of an angry man, a disobedient man, a disengaged man, a dishonoring to the wife man, or we build a legacy of a man who loved God, who saw the importance of God, who believed in a relationship with God and acts out God's desires in disobedience and honor. So what's the legacy that your children and grandchildren see in you and will always remember? So I want to put my name into this so maybe it brings it a little more personal. Steve the uninvolved, Steve, the angry guy. Steve, the detached. Steve, the inconsistent guy. Steve, the neglecter of God. Or Steve, the lover of his children, the discipliner of obedience and dishonor. Steve, the teacher of God's thoughts, the example to his grandkids, the demonstrator of a lover and follower of God. So let me close with this proverb that I read just a couple weeks ago. Children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children is the Father. Oh, the glory of the children is the Father. You know, as I read that, I thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says that the wife is the glory of the man. Right? Wife, though the wife is the glory of man, but the glory of the children is their father. Man, our kids love us. I know that at times we don't think they care, but the Bible tells us we're number one. They look to you, they watch you, they mimic you, they look for security in you. And you are their glory. You are their majesty, their wonder, their power and security, their fame. How many times have you heard, well, my dad can beat up your dad? Why do they say that? They don't say, my mom can scratch your mom better. You show them God. It's never too late. There's always a start point, and there is never an ending point, is there? I have repeatedly changed year after year, just as you will, evolving into the person that God wants me to be. I've had a wonderful wife that pulls me over and tells me what I need to know at certain times when I don't get it. And I listen. Evolving into that person that God desires us to be, demonstrating who God is. So here's my final questions. Will you pray about it? Will you think about your legacy? And then the last question is, will you act on it? Men, will you act on it? Let's pray.